A particular welcome today also to any guests and visitors we may have among us in town for commencement weekend. Congratulations to the graduates and your families. A wonderful moment of your lives. We're glad to have you among us today. There's a great line at the end of that first reading we heard today that, as a priest reading it, it caught my attention, and I couldn't help but appreciate the irony. That reading ended with the line, Luke, whose writing, says with a certain marvel, even a large group of priests started to become obedient to the faith. And so there's still hope for us priests, there's still hope for you that your priests will grow ever more obedient to the faith and grow in our faith as well. But this track of readings that we're on from the Acts of Apostles continues to give us insight into our lives as church today, as we reflect upon the church of the origins. You may remember just 3 weeks ago, we had that nice idealistic portrait of the early church, those believers who were of one heart and one mind, persevering in the teaching of the apostles, breaking bread together. Everything seemed so harmonious and in unison. And now, just a few pages later in Acts, we hear about those first divisions and conflicts creeping into the Christian community. Now, the church that we read about might seem a little more familiar to us as we recognize that as we strive to be a community of believers united around our faith in Jesus, divisions and conflicts arise as they did back then. Those people coming from the Greek-speaking tradition who were complaining to those from the Hebrew tradition that their widows were being neglected. And so people from different traditions, different cultures, people with different needs, maybe different preferences of how to worship, somehow trying to come together and be this body of Christ, this spiritual temple that God wants to build up, putting each of our lives in a complementary fashion together with one another. So by reading the Acts, we get some interesting indications of how to learn from them, how to learn how to overcome our differences and keep the unity of the church. And the first thing we notice is that those who were in the majority, the Hebrew speakers, they didn't just disregard the complaints of the Greek speakers, but rather they took a practical step to try and figure out, okay, how can we address this need? In their case, they were able to creatively expand the structure of the church and so include the ministry of deacons, recognizing that, well, yes, we don't want to neglect those who are in need. We need to be out there serving. And we need people in our church doing specifically that. But they recognized that they couldn't do it at the expense of prayer, of ministry of the word. And so they tried to rise up different ministries. Certain of those that are involved in a more intense prayer life, others maybe more active life of service, but always keeping that balance, that harmony that remains a challenge for us in our lives. How do we balance prayer with that impulse to go out and serve, with that necessity of putting in time at work to take care of our families? These examples from the early church show us that even they struggled with these questions. But they also show us that it's possible. That it's possible. Another important factor from this early difficulty in the church, we see that there's a solution that aimed to keep people in the church. Rather than get mad at the other people and just want them to get out and start their own sect. Just yesterday, Pope Francis canonized those young shepherd children who saw the visions at Fatima. And as part of that celebration, he urged us as the church and he urged the world to take down these walls that divide us and choose to develop a culture of encounter rather than conflict. It's so easy, even natural for us, when there's a group that we don't get along with or that we disagree with, to enter into conflict or passive aggression, but to just want to get them out of here. The challenge, the Christian opportunity, is to develop that sense of encounter, of conversation, of dialogue that keeps us together in the church. Each of us using our gifts and capacities in the measure in which we have received. And of course, this is an important point of today's readings as well. We have that image in the second reading from the first letter of Peter. Each of us is called a living stone that God wants to use to build up his spiritual temple. Now, it's a beautiful image, this living stone. It's not just a nameless, identityless brick in the wall. Sure, it's a stone. It's solid. It has its place. But it's living. As we are living, as we develop organically, we come to understand our role in this venture together. As we age, as we go through experiences in life. And so our readings assure us that each of us has a place, an important place in the spiritual temple. Sometimes that place may seem very humble and hidden. In other cases, maybe it seems exalted and public. But we can take great comfort in knowing that God has a purpose. God needs us to fill that role. He needs each and every living stone in order to continue constructing the kingdom. And in the mystery of things, we don't know who's going to come after us to build upon our humble work, to build upon that humble stone that we've laid with our lives. And this is part of the beauty of Christian life, that mystery of communion with those who have come before and those who have come after. God can do great things with our humble Christian life. Jesus then perfects this comforting image in today's gospel. And do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God, have faith also in me. And to reinforce this, he says, don't you know that I'm preparing a room for you? In my Father's house, there are many rooms. Just like in this early, not yet perfect version of the Father's house that we're living in here, this community of believers in which Jesus reveals himself, there are many rooms. There's room for all types. The great Irish writer James Joyce once said, being Catholic means here comes everybody. And you see that from our point of view up here. I hope you appreciate that from the pews as well. Here comes everybody, and we like it that way. Our challenge and our opportunity is to be able to live that communion that appreciates the diversity of gifts, those many different living stones, and that maintains our identity as a community of people that believe in Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. That audacious statement that he makes today, no one comes to the Father except through me. As we move towards that room that he's preparing for us in the Father's house, may we do so in such a way that we can work together and we can present one another to the Father, having done our best to follow the way that is Jesus.